The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. That right there, Greg Ducharme. Greg, President's Cup week. Here we go. Monday of President's Cup week. It is happening.
Yes, I'm kind of excited for it. I mean, it's been fun to go through some of the data, look at all these teams and kind of develop some profiles on all these players. And the more data you look at, the more one-sided it gets. But the thing that excites me is that it's golf and it's match play. And anything can happen. So I'm hanging on to that for a good President's Cup.
The United States team is up to -750 over at our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook, +700 for the internationals. The thing I like about this, Greg, is this is like, you know, we don't get a lot of team events, but we also don't get really a lot of team events with a lot of strategy where, you know, you and I were talking about the NFL before we went hot. You know, there's a quarterback and a million things that affect a quarterback and a million things that affect a team. Well, here we get to say, oh, well, what if Scottie Scheffler plays with Tony Finau? No. What if he plays with Cam Young? And we get to like do our own little strategic GMing of these teams every so often.
Yes. And it's pretty cool. And what I always find interesting is how we might get one or two teams right, but really we're often wrong on who the part or the parents and the partners are. Not necessarily for the entirety of the, you know, five matches a day or four matches a day, depending on the day. But as a general rule, we'll get Cantlay, Shoffley. We'll get that right. But they might split them up on a Saturday match, give them both a break in one of those matches and split them up, which is interesting. And it gives you a chance to see guys play with other guys and make a difference. And it can open up the tournament. It can open up the possibilities. I find it very interesting for Davis Love with what he's going to do. I think his options are wide open, where Captain Trevor Immelman, it seems like his path is, he has options, but they're much more narrow.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on this earlier, and basically what ends up happening in both Ryder Cups and President's Cups is that the U.S. team is so incredibly deep. They do not rely on one or two or three golfers to go and play all five sessions, while Europe and the international squad are much more reliant on the top of the board. So I have the numbers here. Last six team events, that's three President's Cups, three Ryder Cups. The U.S. had 17 guys that played all five sessions. The internationals or the Europeans had 24 instances of someone playing all five. They're just super, super reliant on the guys at the top of the board.
Yes. And you can see that in the team construction. I mean, just to give you an idea and some more numbers about the lopsidedness, the average world golf ranking for the American team is 11.25. Wow. And for the international team, it's 48.92. That's a significant difference. Then you look at who the top ranked international player is. It's Hideki Matsuyama at 17th in the world. That's nearly six ranking spots higher than the average for the Americans. So every match you look at, you're going to have American favorites. Every single one. I mean, even in most Ryder Cups and, mm-hmm. and some President's Cups, you get a heavy dose. The top end guys for the internationals or the Europeans are a great match for the Americans on paper. And we're not going to get that here. We're going to get the heavy favorites being with the Americans in all five matches on Thursday and all five matches on Friday and all four matches, all eight matches on Saturday. Every single time. And you're likely going to get, you know, I would say, 10 to 12
American favorites in singles. Yeah, it might be. Well, I believe if memory serves, John Rahm was the only favorite on Sunday at the 2021 Ryder Cup, and Scottie Scheffler beat him 4-3, and he was the only favorite on the board on Sunday.
Right, which is, I mean, it's
terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's a monumental battle that the internationals have to climb. And you think about it, I mean, in singles, that's 12 points. There's 30 available. It's a significant amount. And so whatever you do in team matches, you know you got to go up against 12 favorites on Sunday. 12.
The scene we're setting, it sounds grim, admittedly, but historically it's kind of been grim, Greg. I mean, the United States is in the midst of an 8 President's Cup winning streak. They tied in 2003. The United States won it in 2000. So the only time in existence that the international team pulled off victory was 1998. It's 11-1-1 in favor of the United States squad. So anytime we get to this event every 2 years, on paper, it looks like it's going to be a tough scene for the internationals. And more often than not, it has come out that way.
Yes. And this one even more so looks like a tough scene. Now, the shame of it is, and maybe this isn't shame of it. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more throughout the episode tonight. But the shame of it is that the internationals seem to be gaining a little bit of momentum. They seem to be moving in the right direction. They seem to have some young talent that was going to be around for a while and going to create a really solid core for the international team. Unfortunately, many of them left and are not in the President's Cup. So that's the disappointing aspect. The exciting aspect for me is we now get a number of these players who are kind of, especially for you and I, Rick, and anyone who listens to this Monday episode week in and week out, these are some of our, you know, fantasy darlings that we get to see. And there's a reason why we like them in fantasy golf. Some of it has to do with price, but a lot of it has to do with ability as well. And I'm, you know, looking at like a Taylor Pendrith, who's the highest ranked player in the field, or lowest ranked. He's got the biggest number next to his name at 109. And he is far better than the 109th best player in the world.
Right.
So, you know, I think Taylor Pendrith has the game to compete with the big boys. And we're going to get to see it firsthand. And there's an instance where he'll have a partner who's has a much better world golf ranking and the two of them can kind of garner some confidence potentially. That's a big potential, but it's an uphill battle for sure. Oh, and if you look at the statistics, like aside from official world golf rankings, you start to go through each statistic, the advantage just gets even more significant.
Yeah, it's tough on paper. I'm glad you started naming some names because I want to go through these guys. I want to talk about pairings. I want to look at the captain's picks and all that fun stuff. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner. From launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. and our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And we're back. It's an uphill battle, Greg, but we had Captain Trevor Riverman on. It was just a couple of days before he made his captain's pick. So maybe it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think he did a great job with these picks. Right. I mean, it wasn't going to be easy. But when you go out and you get Cam Davis and Taylor Pendrith and Sebastian Munoz, guys who drive the ball really well for Quail Hollow, I think that's pretty sharp. Siwoo, I mean, the selections start to get tough, but we've seen Siwoo get hot. We've seen KH Lee get hot. He adds Christian Bezuidenhout, a nod to a fellow South African who's going to rely on the flat stick all week long. But based on what he had, especially after the departure of Cam Smith, the departure of Joaquin Niemann, going onto enemy territory and playing at Quail Hollow, I think he did a pretty good job.
I think he did too. And you mentioned there was definitely a theme with these picks. He had 6 picks. Mm-hmm. And of the 6 picks, 5 of them were really good drivers of the golf ball. And that seemed to be the MO. The strength was in their ball striking. But still, you look at this. I mentioned some of the other statistics here. And I went through a bunch of statistics that I think are important, or they're, you know, headline statistics. And I averaged out their for the Americans and for the international, their ranking on tour last year. So we got a full year of data. And the average position in strokes gain off the tee for the internationals is 59.67. For the Americans, it's 43.75. Right? So it's a significant advantage for the Americans. The Americans, 10 of their 12 players are top 50 in strokes gain off the tee. 5 of 12 for the internationals are top 50 in strokes gains off the tee. So as much as he did everything he could, maybe. With the one question I have is with Christian Bezuidenhout. Is he doesn't fit the mold, and he has a skill set in his putting that is elite, one of the best in this entire field. He's 6th on tour in strokes gained putting, but so part of me thinks, well, you know, he kind of went off his path with that one, and I don't know if he can afford to do that. But then, what's the alternative? Is it Emiliano Grillo or Eric Van Rooyen? I mean, what are you gaining?
The two alternatives in my mind, and I agree with you. I think this is obviously the weakest part of the team. We don't have to spend too much time on it, because the options were Lucas Herbert, which is just getting yourself another guy who is flat stick dependent. Yes. Herbert's probably slightly better of a putter, or it was to go. Some people were calling for Ryan Fox. Now, Ryan Fox would be your big bomber off the tee. We saw him get hot and play well often on the DP World Tour last season. But, you know, he doesn't have as much PGA Tour experience as Captain Immelman would have liked. Those were the only two, I think, other options here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I would throw a Grillo into the mix. Sure. He had, you know, two T2s coming in. But there's big questions about his putting. You can't have cold putters in this, but you know, it brings up another disadvantage, and that's that that Captain Love can set up this golf course. So now you look at even all that Captain Immelman did to try to you know, improve the driving of his team, which I think he did a fine job of. You're still now at the, you're still in the deficit here, and the setup will benefit drivers, which he did everything he could to take advantage of that, but it's still outmatched by the driving of the American team. And that's very concerning to me. And where does that leave a Christian Bezuidenhout? Can he, will he have an opportunity to get hot with the putter? And now on the contrary, with the American side, Kevin Kisner is kind of that version. But he's a match play wizard, and he's only one guy. You know, it's one guy, and you have 11 others. So he kind of gets lost in the sea of American depth. He's also 25th in the world, one of the best match play players year in and year out.
And so, he also held the 54-hole lead at Quail Hollow for the PGA Championship.
Yes. And he has another tied six at Quail Hollow as well. I think he, what was he, tied seventh at the PGA, tied six in another event there. Yeah. So he's shown that he can handle that golf course. But it's very, very interesting to me from that point of view. Again, I don't know if one of his other options that may have been better than Bezuidenhout would really give this team an advantage. And maybe this, maybe the putter for Christian can light a spark and can be the change of pace that they need.
Yeah, it's not like he snubbed a Rory McIlroy or anything like that and kept him off the team. It's, you know, adding, depending on who he would have added, I don't know if it would have changed anything. Producer Troy, I've got the rosters up here. Can we share my screen? Yeah, thank you. Okay, so here are the rosters, Greg, and you'll see. I mean, we've got it up here. The international squad on the left, the United States team on the right. To close out the thought on Kisner and Bezuidenhout, there are only two golfers out of these 24 that are losing strokes from tee to green over the last 50 rounds. It's those two. It's Kisner and Bezuidenhout. They're gonna certainly need to ride those putters. Let's pair them up, right? Like let's play the games. We are now in charge of both of these teams. Let's start with the U.S. side. I think there's a lot more natural selections here, and this will give us an opportunity to talk about anybody. So, Greg, you go first. You pick two guys that you want to play together.
Okay, so at least in foursomes, the obvious choice and the can't miss choice. The only way Davis Love can mess this up is by not playing Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele together.
Correct.
Right. Correct. They're a lock in foursomes. Four ball, your options open up way more. If you want to rest one of those guys, you can split them up. They were 0-2 in the 2019 President's Cup in four ball, 2-0 in foursomes. In the Ryder Cup last year, they were 2-0 in foursomes and didn't play together in the four ball. So they have to go together in foursomes. They have to, and they will.
Okay, so Cantlay and Xander off the board makes total sense. Both of them are playing great right now. They've got plenty of great history together. No doubt about it, these two are going to be partnered up for the vast majority, if not all, of their possible sessions. I'll give you another obvious one. Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, right? We've seen these guys. Yep, a must. They've played together quite a bit. They're obviously great friends. I imagine we are going to see plenty of Spieth and JT this week.
Yes, and I mean, this pairing broke up Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth.
That's right.
It was so formidable.
Which was, right? At the time, or still might be, like one of the most successful U.S. pairings ever, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, they were a buzzsaw, a complete buzzsaw. But the Americans historically have put a lot of emphasis on Spieth and Thomas and the team aspect. And they can both give you some emotion, give you some fire that you see come out much, you know, often in these team competitions, and you need that spark and you need that energy. I don't see a Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth looking past their opponent. They are going to be, you know, bleeding red, white, and blue, and they're going to be really trying to win their match unanimously, right? They don't want to leave any questions out there, and that can provide a big spark. So they're a must go together.
All right, we got two musts. You're up next. Give me two more you put together.
Okay, so it starts to get a little more interesting at this point. But I'm going to go with a pairing that I think will work. And I think it's, you may not be thinking this way, but Max Homa coming fresh off of a win. And I'm going to pair him with Billy Horschel.
Oh, I was not thinking that. No.
The reason is I think Max Homa is one of the easiest guys to pair on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Billy Horschel is probably the most difficult to pair on this
team. I agree.
Okay. Now, they're both accurate off the tee. These two will be peppering fairways. Max Homa is much improved with his putter and had a very nice iron play week last week, obviously. But the really cool aspect, too, is Billy Horschel, while in his strokes gained approach ranking, it's not great. He hits a lot of greens at regulation. And I think they could play a little bit of a plotter's game together that'll work really effectively and work really well. So Billy, is because he is that challenge pairing, it's nothing against him. It's just the personality type. I think getting him with somebody like a Max Homa is going to be an important, it's going to be an important pairing to take care of, to understand and take care of it. So I like that.
Okay. So we'll roll with that one. I'll have to shuffle up my lineup, but my thoughts on Billy Horschel, they do align with yours. I think there's two logical guys to play with Billy: Max because of his demeanor, and Sam Burns because they've got the history around Zurich and their buddies. And
you know, you're right.
That's the pairing.
They play together. They play together in Zurich. I can't believe I overlooked that.
Which would have opened up the Cal Bears Colin Morikawa Max Homa pairing, and Morikawa played with DJ for the most part the Ryder Cup. Yep. loses kind of his partner from the Ryder Cup. You plug in Max Homa, guys who has had great success at Quail Hollow and everything else that you referred to. I like that combo a little bit better.
Okay, I like that combo too. You're right. The history that Horschel and Burns have should not be overlooked.
Okay.
And I'm sure that they're going to remind Captain Love of that, who won't need the reminder like I do, clearly. That's good.
This is where it gets really interesting. So we've got Cantlay, Xander, Spieth, JT, Homa, Morikawa, Burns, Horschel, which leaves us with Cameron Young, Kevin Kisner, Tony Finau, and oh, by the way, the number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, who we have not even mentioned yet. So how are we going to, this is where it gets interesting. There's not so many natural fits anymore. Where do we
get? Well, one that I think is very interesting would be, and I understand where this leaves you, and you may want to mix this up a little bit, but I really like going with Cam Young and Tony Finau because of there's a obvious skill set there that is elite. And that team will be really scary to play against. And if I have to go up against Tony Finau and Cam Young, I am a little bit wide-eyed. and I think that's an important perspective to look at. Like, what is the other team going to say when Cam Young and Tony Finau walk up on the tee? Tony Finau's also played in President's Cups and Ryder Cups, so he's got some experience. Cam Young's a rookie. He won't have to... If he doesn't want, he won't have to hit that opening tee shot. And you're not going to get a big distance advantage where, okay, we got to play Cam, you got to go on number one. If he's paired with Kisner, well, you got to go on the odd. You might run into a situation like that. And then, so that leaves you with that leaves you with Kisner and Scheffler.
Right.
Well, these two are great match play players. They played together in the final, or was that that was Horschel and Scheffler?
Horschel and Scheffler and they've both been like constantly making deep runs in Austin.
Yeah. And so I think that could be another interesting one. Mm. Scotty can play with anybody.
Right.
And his game is really well-rounded. So putting him with the Kevin Kisner, I don't think is a problem. I mean, he's a really good long iron player. If he's a little bit farther back playing off of a, Kevin Kisner tee shot, I don't see any trouble with that. And so I'm not afraid of that pairing. Again, it's not my favorite, but if that's what we're left with, I'm okay with it. But what would you do with these last four?
I'm generally fine with any combination of these. I think I settled on Scotty and Finau, but for no other reason than No, you should probably split them up because they're both so easy to play with. I don't know. I'm fine with literally any combination of those final four. I mean, they're all fair. Like, how many combined words are those guys going to say? I mean, they're all very low key. Their resting heart rate is like 12. I'm fine with any combination of the last four.
The question is, what do you do with Cam Young? Who do you put him? Who's the guy you put Cam Young with?
What's interesting is Cam Young on paper is awesome at Quail Hollow because he can bomb it. And also he makes a ton of birdies and he can putt. So in theory, he's a could be a really good match play player. And if you get him with Scotty, for example, on Thursday, and they win, you might get to roll Cam Young out a lot more. Like, I feel like sometimes when these guys are rookies, you know, they don't get to play as much. Cam Young could be a really, really great President's Cup star with his skill set, but I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to show it this week.
No, I tend to agree just because of what's in front of him. The one thing he does have in his favor, aside from the fact that he had a great year, is he did shoot 63 on Friday with Davis Love in the group, which I'm sure impressed him. But it's almost like he's left out a little bit when Zalatoris, who is his natural fit, is put on the sideline with an injury.
Right.
So I think he kind of lost out there. But I wouldn't put Cam Young with Kevin Kisner. I think you can get him with a player who has a little more of a similar game. And Scotty and Finau could both do it. But I prefer Finau with that. I think Finau has a little more experience. He can show him, you know, the ropes a little bit more. And there is a similarity in their game. And Finau's putting great, too. So there's more similarities than there might normally be with him. So I guess that's my lean there.
I'm with you. I'm fine with that. The international side, a lot more question marks. I think there's a couple of natural fits, but then we got to start getting creative here, Greg. So where do you want to start on Captain Immelman's side of things?
All right. So I want to get a general philosophy first. Mm-hmm. This is the big question that has to be answered. It determines everything. And I'll tell you a little story from my days of playing ice hockey. I was on a team that had a very good senior class when I was a senior. And we had some really good players, some of the best players in our section. But when you got to our sophomores and freshmen, it got ugly quick. We had some real deficiencies, more deficiencies than stars. And we tried in the early part of the year a balanced approach. We found that every line that we had was just okay.
Right.
And when things got really bad, we got together and we changed, we flipped the script and we put our stars together on the first line and we piecemealed a moderate second line. And our third line, we just hoped they didn't let up two goals.
Right.
Our star defenseman played.
Did you tell the third line guys that? Did you tell the guys on the third line, hey, you guys stink, just don't give up two goals?
It wouldn't surprise me. we were nice. But they just didn't end up playing as much. So we'd take our first two lines, and when it got to playoff time, we would roll two lines, which was exhausting. I'm still out of breath. But it was it worked. All of a sudden we had two very good, we had a great line and a really good line that we could throw at any team, and they could compete against all the other lines that we would play against. And all of a sudden we went on a big run at the end of the year and made it to the finals and lost 8-1 final.
You guys were too tired by the time you got to the finals.
Yeah. But we went from the worst team in the section to making the finals because we stacked. I don't know if that works in this format. So the question is, do you stack your talent and go with a Sungjae Im and Hideki Matsuyama and come up with a formidable team? Or do you try to bring along, you know, your Tom Kims and your Mito Pereiras and guys that have talent, but put them with someone with experience, a little more firepower?
I think you got to stack them, Greg. I just think that, listen, there's 30 points available. You got to get 15 and a half of them. And the path to 15 and a half is not, I mean, you're going to be a dog everywhere. You got to, if you can get 2 points a session, you're at least live for something crazy to happen on Sunday. Mm. You can't You cannot hope that. And golf is weird enough that Siwoo Kim and Christian Bezuidenhout might snap a point off or a half a point. And then you're loving life. I don't think you can afford to not stack this.
Okay.
That's my I'm not Captain Trevor Immelman.
It's hard with five matches going out in each session. That's another disadvantage for the international team. When you got five, you got to come up with now 10 guys have to go.
Yeah.
And so when you start stacking these, as we're going to do here, if all your star power wins every match and sweeps, you're going to be left. You're going to have 3 points. And you're, the best case scenario is a split. That's hard for me.
But there's no there. I mean, look at the scores, Greg. Look at the teams. Look at the odds. There's no good path for this team. Getting a split is a great result.
Yeah. And then you're just.
You're hoping for Sunday magic is what you're hoping for.
Yeah. So you want to just get to Sunday and try to be even. You don't think there's a way to get a lead heading into, you know, a big lead going into Sunday through your parents.
I mean, what are you going to do? Put Hideki and Bezuidenhout out there? And hope that's good enough?
I think you're hiding Bezuidenhout as much as you can.
Yeah. I agree. I think you have to Siwoo can at least get hot, but he's been horrendous the last couple of weeks.
Yes, I know. This is the thing. You have great upside, to use some fantasy lingo, in Siwoo Kim. Sebastian Munoz has shot 61 twice this year. You need him to go shoot rounds like that for a whole week. I don't know. He hasn't been able to do that in regular tournaments. So he's got to, you know, go shoot a 61, get lucky, shoot 65 and win. I mean, it's a very long path. So I'll give you my first pairing.
Yeah. Start us off.
I feel the best about this. And I think it kind of splits the middle here. So it's Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith.
For sure.
That's your lock pairing. They're both rookies. I think Corey Connors is a much more experienced PGA Tour player, obviously. Taylor Pendrith was, I believe, a rookie this year. But he's much better than that rating. And with the length of Taylor Pendrith and the ball striking capability of Corey Connors, I think that team is formidable. And I don't think it locks you in any corner.
Agree. Love it. And Connors is a candidate to play 4 or 5 matches just because of his, prowess that he has on the golf course. And if Pendrith gets hot, like, great. It's a really great golf course. I completely agree.
Yeah.
You put the two Canadians together. I also think, I think you put the two Aussies together. So Adam Scott, who has played 44 out of 45 President's Cup matches, is likely to play 4 or 5 again this week. And Cam Davis is, as we talked about last week for the Fortinet, very similar in skill set to Taylor Pendrith. Very comfy pairing. Adam Scott, Cam Davis.
Yes. So I love that pairing as well. And this is where I consider this a split of star. I think Cam Davis has the potential to be a star. But what you have with Adam Scott is a star, and you have a rookie who he can kind of pull along. And I think that is a formidable team as well, with a lot of upside, a lot of potential. So I'm very comfortable with our positioning here.
Okay. This is good. Let's keep rolling.
Okay. Now we're two pairings in.
We still have 2 stars left, though, I think. I think we have 2.5 stars left.
Well, I'm curious to know who your half star is.
It's Tom Kim.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Okay.
So now I think you put Tom Kim with the star.
Yes.
And the star that I put him with, it can go either way here. I have Sungjae Im.
So do I.
All right. So I like that team. Yep. I think they can go really well together. It's not like a young and old, right? They're both young players. But Sungjae has some experience. And statistically, even though Tom Kim doesn't qualify for the official stats, they're two of the best players statistically on this team. But I think Sungjae can provide a lot of comfort to Tom Kim, because he came in as a rookie in 2019 and was a buzzsaw.
Yes.
Tom Kim has that ability, but my fear is that he's a little overwhelmed, or that he could be overwhelmed. And I don't think he will be with Sung Jae Im as his partner.
This is by far, this is my favorite pairing. Tom Kim, I will bet Tom Kim to be the top international point scorer at like 7-1, because I think there's a chance. When we had Trevor on, he was heaping praise on Tom Kim, as he should, but he was also describing how he's acting as a translator for the Korean guys. Oh. So that's Sungjae, it's KH Lee, it's Siwoo Kim. Tom Kim could go out with basically a third of the team very, very comfortably, if not more. And if he plays well and gets hot, I think they roll him out there a ton. I love the Tom Kim Sungjae pairing.
Okay. I like it too. I think it's really strong. Now, there are so many reasons why that's a good pairing. And I mean, Tom Kim's long iron play is so good. And it kind of can, I think it could mitigate some of his distance, which is the downside of Tom Kim, if you will. All right. So who's,
yeah.
Now it's really interesting.
Now it's tough. So, and this is the same order I did this in earlier. We have Hideki left, who's our best player. Yeah. And I have no idea who to pair him with here. So we've got Mito Pereira, Sebastian Munoz, Siwoo Kim, KH Lee, Christian Bezuidenhout, if I'm not missing anybody. Who best works for Hideki?
Well, you have a great iron player in Hideki. He's more than that, but let's just call him a great iron player. Do you pair him with Christian? Feels like you're, that doesn't feel right to me. It feels like you're taking a potentially star-studded team and you're handicapping it. So, and with Siwoo, it's so risky. I think Mito Pereira is the play with Hideki. And there are other options, I know. But Mito, I think, is the most consistent player left on the board. I think he's the best ball striker left on the board. And I think Hideki Matsuyama and Mito Pereira can hit it with the American, the American duos, which is valuable. You'll stay in holes. You'll stay in matches with that pairing. Now, I mean, putting becomes a concern. You need a hot putter, but I don't think that's enough reason to put him with Christian just because he's a good putter. Right. I feel like that could go where the pressure gets put on Hideki's putter all day. That costs you a lot of holes.
If Siwoo was playing better, I would advocate for Hideki and Siwoo, but Siwoo's lost like 15 strokes putting in his last 7 rounds and he's completely lost. And I cannot put Hideki with that. Yeah. So you just try to ball strike him to death. The Hideki and Mito prayer. I'm fine with that.
All right. So we got Hideki and Mito. We got Corey and Pendrith. Yep. We got Sungjae and Tom Kim, Adam Scott and Cam Davis. That's four good teams.
It's at least 3.5 good teams, but you could argue it's 4 decent teams.
Yeah. I think it's 4 teams with strength, with real strength.
Yes. So those 8 must do work.
Yes. Now,
It leaves us with some crumbs. So Munoz, who I like as a driver of the golf ball, mentioned he can get hot. So Munoz has got to go with either Siwoo, KH Lee, or Christian Bezuidenhout. I don't love any of these.
Nope, I don't either. My instinct would be put him with KH Lee.
I kind of thought that too, just like I think form and fit say that Siwoo and Bezuidenhout are 11 and 12, and I just want to stick just like sacrificial lambs, just Siwoo and Christian Bezuidenhout. And at least we have seen KH Lee's ceiling once a year, right? Like we see it once a year. Maybe we can find it at Quail Hollow, but my first thought was also KH Lee.
I mean, it's Craig Ranch and Quail Hollow. Are there any similarities there?
They're both in the United States.
Maybe the rough will be low at Quail Hollow because of Davis Love.
It will, actually. So I saw the stat sheet had an inch and 3/4, 1.75.
Yeah, which with Bermuda rough, that's low. Bermuda rough's typically lower than bent. effectively like 3-inch Bermudas long. At 1.25 inches, it's short. You'll get a lot of flyers. That could be a benefit for Cagely. I'm scraping at straws here. You need to steal. You got to steal a point. And how do you generate this? Can K.H. Lee and Sebastian Munoz in the same round on the same week find their ceiling? If they can, I mean, they can play with anybody in the world.
And if they can, and
they'll have to.
That's worth 1 point. And then they just need to find 14 and a half more. Isn't that sick?
Yeah. This is the problem. I'm with you on you take 11 and 12 and sacrifice them.
Yeah.
And hope for the best. But the problem is it's not like every other team is strong.
Right.
When you got four, we feel pretty good about four teams. But they're going to have to go against, well, somebody's going to have to play Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. Somebody's going to have to play Cantlay and
so Stoffer. That's the other thing. The President's Cup is, the Ryder Cup is just the blind, hey, here's what team's going out first, second, third, and fourth. This will be more of like a snake draft. So if Davis Love starts off and says, okay, first group out, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, or Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, do you just go, all right, Bezaden Hote and Siwoo Kim?
Well, you do have the opportunity to sit those guys.
Right, of course.
But the theory is there. So I would take, yes, I would take guys that I feel like have the potential to go crazy, but are unlikely to. And that would be, in the way that we've set this up, it'd be Munoz, K.H. Lee. Mm. Stick them out there. Now, you want to get early points. You want to go beat Schauffele and Cantlay and get some momentum. But it's so hard to do. I think you, in a way, I think you're all right to run from that team. Punt on that one.
Okay. We're going to continue to roll on here. We're going to answer some questions that came in on Twitter. And I think I saw a couple in the chat I might be able to get to if I can find them. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. Let's do some questions. And I believe, Troy, do you have something queued up for this? Okay. Kyle Thornhill. Is it realistic to expect the President's Cup to go into Sunday given how much better the U.S. team is? Technically, Greg, of course. It'll be available on Sunday. It's 12 points. Now, how live it will be on Sunday is kind of the big question. Remember, 2019, it was internationals were leading going into Sunday, weren't they?
Yes, I believe so.
I'll look.
Check that out. I'm pretty sure they were. But the problem is,
yes,
a 4-point deficit is huge to overcome. So I feel like the internationals have to get a lot of momentum in the early matches and start to feel like they have a chance. get points on the board and go in there where, you know, you leave it, you hope for magic on Sunday. But the magic can't be, well, we're down 8 points and we got to, you know, basically sweep. That isn't going to work. So, but I do think it goes into Sunday. It's match play. It's team event. You're talking about the best golf, you know, these guys are, they're top 100 players in the world on the international side. They're not going to just roll over.
Right.
It's just an uphill battle.
Yeah. There was a question and producer Troy, it's at 6:08 Eastern. Joseph Bosa says, if a match goes all 18, will that be embarrassing for Team USA? It's like, absolutely not, right? Like, don't forget, these guys are top 100 players in the world. Yes, as a team and as a composite, they are big dogs to win 15 and a half points, but someone might go out there and smoke Justin Thomas or someone like it is not going to be a 30-0 runaway. I can assure you.
You know, the game is not played on paper.
Yeah.
And the match is, even if it is a route, you know, and it's 20-10, which is a route. The matches aren't going to be 6-5, 6-5, 6-5, right? They're going to be tight matches. It's the number of great teams that the Americans can roll out one after another that makes them so hard to beat.
The Internationals had a 10-8 lead going into Sunday in 2019. And then in Sunday singles, the United States won 8 points, 8-4 to win 16-14 overall. So that's.
Yeah. Impressive. And that's what you're dealing with. Again, you can hide a little bit in the team play, you can hide your lack of depth. And that's where what you talked about earlier, where, you know, your top guys are playing five matches. You need that for the internationals. But on Sunday, there's no hiding.
No, there is not. Okay. Next question, Troy. Matt asks, which U.S. rookie do you think will have the biggest impact, being in points earned or some intangible? So top rookies, I'll list them off here for you, Greg. There's six U.S. rookies. Technically, Colin Morikawa, because he played a Ryder Cup. This will now be the first President's Cup. Scottie Scheffler making his President's Cup debut as the number one player in the world. Cam Young, Sam Burns, Max Homa, Billy Horschel. Those are the six.
So who's going to, let's say, be the biggest points leader of the rookies? I have to go with Scottie Scheffler. I think this golf course suits him so well. And I think he's going to be a formidable match, and there's not a ton of pressure on him. He's world number one, but his team is, you know, the team in front of him, and maybe they're behind him, is so strong. I don't see this as an overwhelming pressure situation where the team's riding on Scottie Scheffler. So best player in the world is a rookie, I think he's going to have a big influence.
I probably agree, though I am excited about Morikawa and Homa. Morikawa was awesome at the Ryder Cup.
Awesome. Right?
I mean, he was phenomenal, even in a year where he battled, I can't hit my baby cut anymore. Now he's figured that out, and the strokes gained approach numbers are back. And I think if it does shake out the way I want it to, which is a very comfy Max Homa pairing, you get a partner that just won, who's been great at Quail Hollow. Like, I'm very excited for these two, and I'm exponentially more excited if they play together.
Yes. Here's the other thing about Morikawa. He was still third on tour in strokes gained approach the green
in his bad year where he couldn't find his swing to save his life.
Yeah, it's amazing. He just gets it. He just gets approach shots. And that's going to be a big deal here, obviously. But more so than a normal Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow. More so than a PGA championship, because that rough is going to be a little bit lower. So you're going to have an opportunity to make some birdies. You're going to have to do that by hitting some quality iron shots.
I think we have one more question, Troy. Okay, here we go. So Albert asks, which golfers will play all five sessions? So let's start on the American side. Most likely to play five, Greg. Who does that look like to you?
I don't think the Americans have to do that, but I would say Justin Thomas is the most likely.
I agree.
Because I think he's going to be hungry. He's a team leader. I think Cantlay would be a popular choice, but with his back, you are happy to rest him if you can. So I'd say Thomas.
Xander and JT are my two for the U.S. side. Xander's got the great pairing with Cantlay, and if you do want to rest Patrick at some point, Cantlay can play with anybody else. JT, he just plays a ton. It's at Quail Hollow. You know, he's basically the de facto Captain America at this point. 2021 Ryder Cup, there was only one golfer who played all five sessions. So we only got there once in 2021. Remember who it was, Greg?
On both sides, Rom.
No, sorry. On just
Americans. Just the Americans. JT played all five.
DJ played all five.
Oh, that's right. He was 5-0.
Yeah, 5 points. Yes. DJ got five. The European side was two guys. It was Rom and Victor played all five sessions.
Yeah.
So you might get 1 to 3 guys on the United States side. On the international side, I think these are a lot easier to pick. Like Sungjae has to play five sessions. Hideki probably has to play five.
Yep. Less likely than Sungjae because of, you know, some injuries he's dealt with this year.
Yeah, he's had like the wrist and like the neck and all that stuff. Yeah. And then believe it or not, Adam Scott is a million. Adam Scott is golf's Tom Brady and has played 44 of 45 potential matches. He might just play five again this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very likely as well. I think both Taylor Pendrith and Corey Connors would be likely candidates as well, especially if they get it going. See, the thing you have to go with your strength. If you're the internationals, you don't have the choice. The Americans can, they could walk in and draw names out of a hat and have great teams every day. They, for the most part, they all get along. They can all play together. And, somebody needs a little bit of rest or doesn't play well. It's next man up.
Yeah, the Mito Pereiras, the Taylor Pendriths, the Cam Davises, like that's the hot hand effect. If Pendrith and Corey Connors go out and win on Thursday, they're going out on Friday.
Yeah.
And if they win on like you're going to see Pendrith a ton if they kind of play well and capture a point on Thursday, something like that.
Even if they win in foursomes, lose in four ball, they're going to play in foursomes again in the morning.
Right.
So, and then if they win there, they'll play the afternoon.
And then they're all going to play single. So like there's a pretty easy, there's a decent path to Pendrith or Cam Day, like somebody who might end up getting paired with one of the stars, so to speak, getting hot and playing all five sessions.
Right. And it's got to be a great gel and they both have to be candidates. I think Connors and Pendrith are both candidates for it. But Sungjae it's so obvious.
If Sungjae does not play five sessions, I'll be very surprised. I'll be very
surprised. He probably played very poorly.
Yeah. He'd be like 0-4 or 0-3 out of the gate.
Yeah. And even then, you got to hope he finds it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Quickly, last note, and then we'll get out of here, Greg. They rerouted Quail Hollow. So the Green Mile, 16, 17, 18, obviously a notoriously difficult stretch. They moved that up so that it plays a larger impact on match play, which I kind of think that was smart. So they're going to go, I think it's, oh God, I don't have it in front of me, but it's like 1-8, 12-18, 10-11-9. Or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
And it does make sense. You want that 18th hole to play a factor. I feel like it's 15. Does that make sense? Yeah, if it's what?
Yes, now it's 15. Because then they'll play. It definitely closes 10, 11, 9.
So 14, 13, 14, 15 would be the green mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that could be a deciding factor, deciding point in the match. So I think that makes sense.
I love it. Okay. Any final thoughts before we get out of here? We're going to come back and do more on Tuesday. We'll incorporate some odds and the fantasy salaries are out. That's a unique format for this week, Greg. But anything that we missed on for the Monday show?
No, but just, we're data guys here, right? We're doing research and looking, and the more you look at the data, the more it looks like the Americans have this thing won already. But they have to play the matches, and they're great players on the international side, and it's match play. And it's it's 18 holes of match play. There are five matches, but it's 18 holes for the point. So the chance of this being a complete rout is a lot less than we think. The chance of the Americans winning is probably right around where we think, but I think it's going to be closer than we think.
I hope so. I hope so. We'll see. Okay. Big thanks to producer Troy, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme, available on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.